Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
In America, we have a saying, there are two sides to every story. This saying has come about because often people disagree in their memory of or opinion of an event. This way of thinking leads many to conclude that when an event is reported, even if it is reported in the Bible, there must certainly be another side to the story. When it comes to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, man has proposed many alternate theories. Do those theories hold up in the light of examination? This is a great and wonderful study. There are things in the Bible that we study because they are needful, but they are not very pleasant. In this particular case, it is very pleasant to see that God had the power to raise Jesus up from the grave. I know that it is most likely that I will die, and when I die, I want to go to that grave knowing that God has the power to raise me up, that He has promised to do so, and that He will be faithful to that promise. That power is demonstrated in the resurrection of my Lord, Jesus the Christ, from the grave. We asked why it was so important, and as I mentioned just now, it's because I will one day face death. Not only that, but the credibility of the Old and New Testament writers and even of Jesus Himself is at stake, for all of them claimed that Jesus was raised from the dead. Last week we noticed evidence that God has provided for us so that we might know that Jesus did in fact come back from the tomb. We see that His resurrection was witnessed both by His followers and by His enemies, and that provides proof to us that He did come back from the grave. We also see the change that took place in the apostles' lives, how they stopped being the cowardly, fearful men that they had been up to that point and became great soldiers of the cross. This is a change that took place because they had seen the resurrected Lord, because they knew that there was victory awaiting them if they would only stay the course. And stay the course, they did. This week we're going to conclude our study of the resurrection of Jesus by noticing the other side of the coin, or the other side to the story. We would like to take a moment to look at the alternative theories that man has introduced, trying to diminish the resurrection of Christ, trying to deny that Jesus actually came back from the dead. We see, first of all, that there are some who claim that Jesus died and was buried, and His disciples stole His body. This is probably the oldest alternate theory that man has ever given. We find in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 11 that when the soldiers who had guarded the tomb were assembled with the elders of the Jewish people and consultation was made, that the elders of the people gave them large sums of money, saying, "Tell them His disciples came at night and stole Him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. That's Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. Matthew was writing about 30 years after the resurrection, and even then it was commonly reported by the Jews that Jesus' body had been stolen by His disciples. A man named Justin the Martyr wrote in the mid-second century, and he reported then that unbelieving Jews were still telling the same lie. They were saying that Jesus died and that His disciples stole His body. This theory is simply not adequate. If the guards were awake enough to see that it was His disciples who stole His body, why didn't they stop them? These were fishermen and tax collectors from the area. They could not have overpowered these Roman soldiers and taken away this body. And if the guards were awake, they would have stopped it. If they were asleep, they would not have known what had happened. It's very unlikely that the guards would have slept. The penalty for a Roman soldier sleeping on duty was very severe, even to the point where his own life could have been taken. If His disciples had come and had overpowered these soldiers, they certainly would not have noised it abroad. They would not have told everyone that this is what happened. The very idea that these fearful and frightened creatures would have overpowered these soldiers, the strongest and mightiest soldiers in the world, to take away this body is ridiculous. A second theory that is often given is what is known as the swoon or the faint theory. The theory says that Jesus did not really die on the cross, but that he merely fainted. Later, after being buried in this cool tomb, he revived, he sneaked out, and then claimed to have arisen from the dead. This theory first came about 200 years ago. It was made popular in a book in 1966 called The Passover Plot, and later it was made into a movie. Sometimes we read something in a book or see something in a movie and we just automatically accept it as true. Yet when we read it in the Bible, many oftentimes reject it as being false. There is one Muslim sect, I understand, in northwestern India that promotes the theory that Jesus actually fainted, revived in the tomb, and then escaped to India and lived there to be 120 years old. All of this, of course, is without evidence and contrary to the Bible record. For this theory to be true, these Roman soldiers, those who were experienced in crucifixion, those who were experts in causing people to die long and agonizing deaths, would have had to have been wrong. They would have had to have examined him and concluded that he was dead when he was not. If it could be that the soldiers were wrong and that Jesus had only fainted, then Jesus, after being beaten and crucified and his side pierced with a spear, would have been laid in that tomb without food, without water, without medical attention. He would have been wrapped in the grave clothes. This is somewhat like being bound up in a large bandage or wrapped in a straitjacket. Then he would have had to have come back and unwrapped himself without anyone's assistance, then moved the stone out of the way that three women were not able to move. We find in Mark 16, as they came to the tomb, they were concerned about who would move the stone for them. And then he would have had to overpower these Roman guards and escape. This is simply not possible. For Jesus to have undergone all of this and then to have come back that way would have been almost as miraculous as coming back from the grave, coming back from the dead. This is, we can easily see, is a theory that man has put forth that is full of holes and simply does not stand to investigation. We then have the theory of the wrong tomb. This theory basically says that Jesus died and was buried, but that his disciples went back the following first day of the week to the wrong tomb, and when they found it empty, they assumed that he had risen from the dead. If you recall, when we studied the burial of Christ, we noticed that Joseph of Arimathea had placed Jesus in his own tomb, that Nicodemus was with him when he had been placed there, and that according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, there were women there who were observing the burial process. These same women, now 48 hours later, come back, and they cannot find the tomb? That simply doesn't make sense. Also, we find from Mark chapter 19, beginning in verse 41, now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. This means that not only would they have had to have forgotten where the tomb was, but they would have had to have forgotten where he was crucified, for the tomb was near to the point where he was crucified. The disciples did not go to the wrong tomb. They had clearly known where they buried him. One of them even owned the tomb that he was placed in. The women had observed it and gone back to finish what had been started on that day of preparation. Not only that, but when they arrived at this tomb, not only was it empty, but it was empty and the grave clothes were still there. The linen strips that he had been wrapped in were still in the tomb. They found the proper tomb, but Jesus was not there. The final theory that is often put forth by man is that the disciples wanted Jesus to arise from the dead so badly, and they believed it so strongly that they hallucinated that they were seeing him. They saw in their mind what was not actually there. Well, this simply cannot be true. The disciples did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead. The women going to the tomb that first day of the week did not expect to find it empty. They expected to find a dead body. Notice in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 3, when they saw that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they were greatly perplexed about this. Mark records for us in chapter 16 that Jesus appeared in another form to two of them as he walked and went in the country. And when they went and told it to the rest, they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen. His disciples did not hallucinate that Jesus came back from the grave because they believed it so strongly that they wanted it to happen, but rather, they didn't believe it even when it was reported to them, and Jesus had to appear to them himself before they believed. Not only this, but 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 6 clearly tells us that more than 500 of the disciples saw him at a single time. This was not a matter of hallucination. They were not seeing in their mind what was not really before them, but rather they were seeing our Lord, our resurrected Savior, one who had come back from the tomb victorious. All of these theories seem very silly. It's hard to take them seriously because God has given us the truth, and when man deviates from that, he goes into an area that does truly appear silly. Let us turn back to the truth and not accept these ideas that come from men. Let us rely on what God has told us and lean upon it for all time. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.